When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Europe's largest nuclear power plant is now under Russian control. What that means for the escalating crisis in Ukraine. Plus, employers added hundreds of thousands of new jobs last month.
I think what we're seeing 2 years, almost exactly 2 years after the pandemic hit the economy, is we're starting to enter a new normal. Maybe we're not there yet, but I really think the economy right now is starting to pivot toward a post-pandemic world.
We'll talk about potential headwinds on the horizon and how some businesses are tapping their expertise to support Ukraine. It's Friday, March 4th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Russian troops have now taken control of the nuclear power plant in southern Ukraine, which had been on fire after shelling overnight. That's according to local authorities and international observers. The plant, the largest in Europe and one of four in Ukraine, is home to six nuclear reactors. As we reported this morning, the fire did not impact any of the reactors, and there was no radiation leak. The International Atomic Energy Agency has said that Ukraine's reactors are built to withstand major incidents. But the attack and fire have stoked fears of the conflicts leading to a global environmental disaster. Wall Street Journal Deputy Bureau Chief in Brussels, Lawrence Norman, says there are two specific concerns.
One is the worst nuclear accidents have taken place when the power has been cut from the nuclear reactor, which causes it to stop cooling the nuclear radioactive material inside and can cause an explosion that turns into a nuclear explosion. Now, all of these reactors have backup power systems, but if a missile were to take out, accidentally perhaps, the backup power system for one of these reactors, and then because of the fighting, there was to be a general power outage, that could cause a major nuclear accident. And that is one of the things that people are concerned about. The second thing that people are concerned about, or most concerned about, is nuclear reactors very often on site store nuclear waste, irradiated material that has been used in the reactor but is no longer being used. Some of that sits around in pools of what they call cooling water, like a pond. If a missile was to hit one of these waste facilities and the water was seeped out of it, which is entirely possible, then you would have massive amounts of radioactive material and plutonium exposed in the fresh air, and that could cause a mass evacuation of people out of that area. It could be extremely dangerous.
The International Atomic Energy Agency says it's in talks with Ukraine about sending assistance to help them secure their nuclear sites. Employers added 678,000 jobs in February, according to the Labor Department, the strongest job growth in 7 months. The unemployment rate also fell to 3.8%, its lowest level since the start of the pandemic. But wage growth is showing signs of cooling, as inflation is still high. Later in the show, we'll talk more about the impact this report could have on the Federal Reserve's decision to start raising interest rates later this month. We report exclusively that the Justice Department has begun investigating whether poultry companies shared information about employment practices that kept wages lower for workers. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The civil antitrust probe is looking into actions at several chicken companies, including Pilgrim's Pride and Purdue Farms. Pilgrim said in a filing that it planned to collaborate in the investigation. Purdue confirmed it had received a notice from the DOJ. The Justice Department had already been investigating alleged antitrust issues in the meat industry more broadly, including price fixing. Meat industry officials say prices have been impacted by disruptions at power plants and labor shortages. The Supreme Court has reinstated the death sentence for the 2013 Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev, who killed three people and wounded hundreds more. In 2020, an appeals court set aside Tsarnaev's sentence. It determined that the trial judge made a mistake by excluding evidence suggesting Tsarnaev's older brother and co-assailant was more culpable for the attack, and by limiting questions defense attorneys could ask prospective jurors about their exposure to news accounts of the crime. In a 6-3 vote, the Supreme Court found that neither issue had undermined the jury's decision to recommend death. And starting on Monday, New York City is dropping mask mandates in schools, and customers at restaurants and other businesses won't need to show proof of vaccination. City officials say businesses may require either, and kids can still wear masks in schools if they choose. Mayor Eric Adams said the policy changes coincide with a continuing drop in COVID-19 cases. Coming up, the jobs report shows strong economic recovery, but higher inflation remains a persistent challenge. How the crisis in Ukraine could further complicate efforts to bring inflation under control.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Last month, employers hired across all sectors, with hotels, restaurants, and resorts leading the charge, adding more jobs than in any month since last summer. By now, the unemployment rate is almost back to where it was pre-pandemic. But there are some headwinds, and they're strong. Even though more people are coming off the sidelines, employers say they're really struggling to find workers. Inflation is at a 40-year high, at 7.5% last month, nearly four times the target rate set by the Federal Reserve. The Fed plans to raise interest rates several times this year to help bring inflation under control. The first hike is expected later this month. But the ongoing war in Ukraine could cause prices, especially oil prices, to soar even higher. So what does that mean for the Fed? And how could it all impact the economy? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Mitchell. Hi, Josh. Thanks for being here.
Sure. Thank you.
So, Josh, there was pretty strong jobs growth last month. Give us the key takeaways from February's report.
Well, job growth was very strong in February. It was stronger than people thought. More than 600,000 jobs were added. The unemployment rate continued to fall. This is a very strong jobs market, and it still remains a workers' jobs market. And so this emboldens the case for the Federal Reserve to start to lift interest rates soon.
One area where we saw growth slowing down was in wages. What can you tell us about what may have happened there?
More people joined the labor force. The labor force grew by about 300,000 people. And so this could be an early sign that the labor shortage that we've seen over the past year is starting to ease. Employers might be starting to have a little bit of an easier time to fill these roles that have long gone unfilled. So with growth in the labor force and employers having an easier time to fill some of these roles, they might not have had to raise wages as much. The other thing is, a lot of these jobs that were filled probably were in lower wage jobs. So, you know, think about like a receptionist at a hotel, think about a server at a restaurant, someone who works the front gate at an amusement park. If you add those jobs into the overall jobs picture, that could bring down average wages because these are, again, lower paying fields.
We've talked before on the podcast about how inflation is eating into wage growth. Now that wage growth is slowing down and inflation is still pretty high, might that raise any concerns with the Federal Reserve's plans to begin raising interest rates later this month?
Chairman Powell was pretty clear in his remarks before Congress that he really wants to regain control of inflation. And so that's why he was pretty specific when he, you know, indicated that he was going to propose a rate increase at their mid-March meeting. And so I think the rise in oil prices is probably a bigger factor here. You know, inflation is already pretty high. Oil prices in just the past couple weeks have gone a lot higher, in large part because of the Ukraine crisis. And so he says he's going to, you know, move to try to tamp down inflation. He doesn't want to create more uncertainty. He wants to try to reduce uncertainty. The Fed at their December meeting, when they projected inflation for this year between 2% and 3%, now, that probably has changed since then. A lot of things have happened since their December meeting. But there is this expectation that if the Fed can move and tamp down inflation, you know, at some point, wages will be outstripping inflation again. That hasn't happened yet, obviously. Wage growth was about 5.1% over the past year. That's not nearly as fast as the 7.5% increase in consumer prices. But again, with the Fed moving to raise interest rates, you know, the hope is, from the Fed's perspective, inflation comes down, the labor market continues to grow steadily, and workers will benefit from steady wage gains.
Josh, of course, something that this report does not encapsulate is the war in Ukraine, which Fed Chair Jerome Powell spoke about before Congress this week, noting that there are still a lot of unknowns. What are you hearing from economists about the path ahead?
There are definitely a lot of unknowns. No one has a crystal ball. The knee-jerk reaction among economists is that the U.S. economy is pretty insulated from, you know, more broadly what's going on with the geopolitical crisis, but that's as of now. No one knows just how intense this crisis could get, you know, just how involved the United States could get. No one really knows, you know, how high and how sustained oil prices will be, whether they're going to come down quickly or if they're going to rise further, and how will that affect the U.S. economy. So I think for right now, a lot of economists say, look, this crisis and the sharp run-up in oil prices are going to dent the economic recovery, but it's not going to completely stall it. But that's as of right now. Again, we don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, it's possible that, you know, oil prices could rise further, and that could rattle consumers, and that could cause consumers to pull back. And because consumer spending is such a big part of the economy, that could really hurt the economy. But as of now, you know, it looks like most people say it's not going to be a huge hit, but that it'll be a hit.
And Josh, it's just about 2 years since the U.S. economy took its biggest hit from the pandemic. What can you tell us about the overall recovery and where we are in that process right now?
So the economy itself, the number of things that we produce, whether it's services or goods, that eclipsed pre-pandemic levels last year. So in terms of gross domestic product, we've already exceeded where we were before the pandemic. We've fully recovered in that sense. However, the labor market has not. So even with strong job growth over the past few months, particularly in February, the U.S. still has about 2.1 million fewer jobs, or about 1.4% fewer jobs than it did in February 2020. So the labor market has yet to fully recover from the pandemic, even 2 years after it hit the U.S. The good news is that with job growth being as strong as it is, we could recover as a labor market pretty quickly this year if it stays the same. And by the way, the labor force obviously is still pretty depleted, but it's quickly coming back to pre-pandemic levels in terms of the number of adults working age who are either looking for a job or have a job. You know, that still remains below its pre-pandemic level, but it is picking up. We saw about 300,000 people join the labor market last month, and that's a really good sign. You know, there's been this concern that, you know, a lot of people are staying on the sidelines, are staying at home because they're sick from COVID, because they're taking care of a sick one, because they're too scared to go back to the labor market. I think what we're seeing 2 years, almost exactly 2 years after the pandemic hit the economy, is we're starting to enter a new normal. Maybe we're not there yet, but I really think the economy right now is starting to pivot toward a post-pandemic world.
And that sounds like a good place to leave it. That's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Mitchell. Josh, thanks so much for joining me today.
Sure. Thank you.
And finally, we've been reporting on how the U.S. and its allies have been assisting the Ukrainian government with weapons and military equipment. But companies like Microsoft, GlaxoSmithKline, Airbnb, and others are also offering help. Our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti says their efforts are going beyond humanitarian assistance or financial aid.
With regard to Airbnb, they have said they will provide free temporary housing for 100,000 refugees. Now, within the context of the number of refugees we're seeing out of Ukraine, that does not cover everyone. But 100,000 people is not nothing. And that will certainly go a long way as they're going through a crisis. You know, with more targeted aid, in the case of Microsoft, for example, some of these major private companies have much more visibility into global computer networks than, in some cases, U.S. intelligence agencies or NATO officials. So when they are actually seeing certain types of cyber attacks potentially related to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, they can provide much more targeted aid that will help Ukraine in very, very direct ways.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. Thanks to Sandra Kilhope for filling in on the mic for the past few days. The show was produced by Trinae Nouri and Kate Bullivant, with help from Mohsen Ali and Anthony Bansi, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Michael Cosmides, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.